Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Did you know that it's 50 years this week since Richard Nixon became the first US president in history to resign from office? To mark this monumental moment, Witness History brings you five programmes about influential events in US presidential history. And with all the amazing twists and turns in the current race for the White House, what a time to bring you them. You'll hear about the closest US election in history and from the man who was in the Situation Room during the raid on Osama bin Laden. That's Witness History from the BBC World Service. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Estás escuchando The Fifth Floor.
The Fifth Floor dinliyorsunuz. Bizimle kalın.
Tumhi ekta The Fifth Floor farnak amidi sobat.
This is The Fifth Floor, at the heart of global storytelling with BBC journalists from all around the world. I'm your host, Farinak Amidi. These days, it's not unusual for people to marry someone from another country or culture. Perhaps you travel for work or study or just move to another country with your family, meet someone you love, and decide to tie the knot. Of course, there are barriers like language, culture, and bureaucracy, but you know what they say, love can move mountains. But sometimes you marry for other reasons, like leaving your country for a new life. According to the UN, from 2008 to 2018, over 18,000 Vietnamese citizens a year married foreigners. The vast majority of them are women. And many of these women find their foreign husbands through special matchmaking agencies, companies set up for the sole purpose of matching young Vietnamese women with foreign men with the intention of getting married. It's a business which has in the past raised moral concerns for the people involved, but it still continues. My colleague, Thuong Le from BBC Vietnamese, has been looking into this story.
So actually, there has been a continuous flow of Vietnamese brides overseas for years, and people are familiar with the concept of foreign men coming to the country to marry Vietnamese women in the 2000s. And these foreign grooms are mostly from South Korea, China, and Taiwan, and they are mostly arranged to married brokers. And they choose Vietnam because of, you know, like geographically advantages, and the country share the similar culture and appearance.
So Thuong, tell me, as you mentioned, this has been going on for a while. Why did you decide to work on this story?
So I have a friend from Singapore, and he's been actively seeking for a Vietnamese wife for a while now. And we met at a popular restaurant in Ho Chi Minh City, where he and his friend came to meet Vietnamese women. And he told me that he frequently visits Vietnam to explore potential relationships. I was curious because he's a man in his 30s and he has a stable job. Then why not seek a partner in Singapore? And then he told me that, and he found it very challenging to connect with local women. And he felt that he had better chances in Vietnam. He often used dating app to communicate with Vietnamese women before making his trips. And then last year, my friend, he shared with me an article about a controversial post on Facebook. It's from a matchmaking agency. So the owner, he was advertising the bride. She was 17 years old at that time. In the post, he said that she's looking for a Singaporean spouse who is under 35 years old and own at least $4,800 Singapore dollar, which is, I think, £2,800. And only people who meet the criteria can interact with her. And then she only can get married when she turns 18 years old. And that post kind of, you know, like sparked debate in Singapore. When he shared with me the story, I was very curious about those agencies. And I did some research. And I was surprisingly, they was very open with their business. So I traveled to Singapore for the story.
This is very interesting. You mentioned your friend also saying that, you know, he finds it challenging to connect with Singaporean women. What does he exactly mean? What is it about Vietnamese women that they find easier?
So I have talked to a Singaporean man who went to the agency to look for a Vietnamese wife. And he told me that Vietnamese women, he said, are more easy because they are not highly educated and less demanding.
So what kind of women are on these so-called matchmaking websites?
The Ministry of Public Security of Vietnam report that 78% of women who married to foreigner, they face economic difficulties and they have low education level and are unemployed. And most of them are from Ho Chi Minh City or the poor area of the Mekong Delta region. And many of them believe that transnational marriages offer them a better chance for a better life.
But when, you know, it is completely natural to, when you come across stories like this, to actually think about the possibility of exploitation of women. Because obviously, as you mentioned, they are economically in a very weak situation and desperate, kind of. It's out of this desperation that they are entering these sorts of relationships. What is the risk of exploitation on these websites?
Yes, of course, there are many legitimate concerns. Despite there are some happy brides, there's instance of human trafficking or kidnapping to China.
Yeah.
And as well as a case where women are treated as servants or human breeding machines. So the media continually report that some Vietnamese women experience as abuse in foreign country. They endure racism, domestic violence, and facing challenges such as they're not receiving the citizenship and lacking of social protection because they don't have high education. They don't speak the language. So some of them are very isolated, so they have limited social network. So they often live as anonymous individuals without proper support from system.
So tell me about the legality of these services.
Actually, I talked to a lawyer in Vietnam, and she said that in the law system, there was nothing that said that, you know, like foreigner matchmaking agency to come to Vietnam is forbidden or is violating the law in Vietnam. So actually, there was nothing. It's written in the law.
So let's talk about this man from Singapore that you spoke to in your piece. You named him Roger. It's not his real name. Why did he say that he wanted to get a Vietnamese bride particularly? What did he tell you?
He's a 50-year-old man who is retired. And he's divorced and he had children.
要求没有那么高啊。 我现在50出了，没有想到要求太高了。
He visited the agency and telling the owner that he is looking for a woman aged between 30 to 38 with average look. The most important thing is since she needs to be truly in love with him, the best for him would be Singaporean. However, he said that it's unlikely that a Singaporean woman would get him. So he preferred Vietnamese because, you know, like they are similar between the culture. Like a lot of Vietnamese people are Buddhist. And then the Vietnamese women had like fair skin.
And was he comfortable talking about this issue? Because I assume it must be a bit of a taboo.
And actually, during our conversation, he was so open. He was so open and share his reason. Like he told me that he didn't want a woman who is over 40 years old because those women would think that he's immature and then they couldn't take care of him. A 30 years old woman then can take care of him and can laugh at his jokes. He even shared with me that he met a Vietnamese woman last year and they was about to get married, but then he changed his mind.
Why?
Because her family, you know, like keep calling her, asking for money. I think he thought that is a red flag. He said that the woman should have her own job, even though he would provide her, but then she should go to work, have her own money so she can help her family so her pressure won't become his pressure.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Did you know that it's 50 years this week since Richard Nixon became the first US president in history to resign from office? To mark this monumental moment, Witness History brings you 5 programmes about influential events in US presidential history. And with all the amazing twists and turns in the current race for the White House, what a time to bring you them. You'll hear about the closest US election in history and from the man who was in the Situation Room during the raid on Osama bin Laden. That's Witness History from the BBC World Service. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Farnak Amidi, and in this episode of The Fifth Floor, I'm with my colleague Tuong Le from BBC Vietnamese. She's been looking into the profitable yet controversial business of marriage brokers in Vietnam. Let's talk about the matchmaking agency. You actually met one of these men who run a matchmaking agency in Singapore. How did he get into this business?
So I met Mitchell Mark Lin. He's the owner of the True Love Vietnam Matchmaking Agency. He claims that he have successfully matched more than 1,000 Vietnamese brides in 31 years. So he's originally from Taiwan, a place abundant in Vietnamese bride. And he told me that he recognized the potential of the matchmaking industry when he accompanied his dad to Vietnam for business trip in the early of the 1990s. So in the early of the 2000s, he used the very traditional method. He told me that he knocked door to door to show the photo of Vietnamese women to the family and asking if anyone is seeking for a spouse. And despite facing skepticism, so with 9 out of 10 households dismissed him, told him that he was crazy and no one in Singapore would invest in finding a wife. But then he eventually succeeds and he earned like 1,000 or even tens of thousand dollars for successful match with a commitment that he will secure a bride for each client. So the duration of the contract is unlimited. And during the process, he can take the client to Vietnam for a short tour to meet potential partner. For one trip, he can take like 6 or 7 clients with him. And for each client, he will introduce 30 ladies. And in the selection process, the first round, the client choose 5 ladies out of 30 and then narrow it down to the top 3 in the second round. And then the last round, they finally select the last woman. And Mr. Lin compares this process to a beauty pageant.
I got to be honest, it's quite an uncomfortable thing to hear.
Yeah, I listened to this, I was so surprised. And it's very uncomfortable.
It is very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I can imagine. Yeah. It's not an easy topic to, especially as a Vietnamese woman, to cover.
And actually, it's not the worst case. It was a huge thing in Vietnam in 2012. There was a video that went viral. The video is titled Young Women Naked for Korean Men to Select as Wife. And the video depict like unclothed women, you know, queuing for men to select as a wife. And at that time, it caused public outrage in Vietnam. You know, like it was a huge thing at that time.
Yes, I can imagine. And, you know, I was just looking at some of the women on these matchmaking websites, and they are super young, some of them in their early 20s. You actually spoke to one of them. What was her experience of this process?
So I met Ngoc Kiều, and she's one of the women that have like, you know, like happy marriage. And she was introduced to a Singaporean man 9 years ago through a matchmaking agency. Their story began when the matchmaker brought him to Ho Chi Minh City, and then they met there. When they met, she told me that they clicked. And after that, he came back to Singapore and they kept talking online. And then after 2 months, they decided to get married. She now is relocated to Singapore. They got 2 children.
Cái tiêu chí mình muốn lấy chồng là tìm được một người chồng thương yêu mình, chịu khó làm ăn.
She told me that she's very, you know, like happy because her husband is very kind, her children are very well behaved, and she found a job like selling food at a store. And over time, she also learned to speak the language to some extent. She's very happy with the marriage. So she said that her life is significantly improved, especially she given the stronger currency in Singapore compared to Vietnam. So this allowed her to support her family back home as well. And also she said that to every relative and friend, she wants to introduce them to Singaporean men.
So obviously this is a positive story, but there are some people out there who might look at this whole business as a human trafficking business. So when you put this to the matchmaking person, what was his reaction?
So when I asked him the question, is this his job is considered as, you know, like a form of human trafficking? He said that it's not the first time he was asked the kind of question. He said that, no, it's not human trafficking. I help them to have a better life and I don't force them. They don't pay me. Only the client pay him, so the woman don't pay him. He even told me that when he flies to Vietnam and he get to the custom, he even give the custom his business card. And he said that some official even introduced their daughter, sister to him. But also he said that he was sued many times by his client because some people say that they are not happy with their marriages. But he told me that he never lost a case.
But not all stories you mentioned have a positive ending. You spoke to a woman who actually experienced abuse. What did she tell you?
Yeah, I've been talking to several people for this story. And one of them was Vietnamese bride who is experiencing the, you know, like abusive marriage. And she is still living with her husband, even though she told me that her husband family often abuse her. She wanted to get a better life, but she didn't expect that for every little things in her daily life, she need to ask for money from her husband. And then she was not allowed that to speak the Vietnamese language to her children. And also they were afraid that she will sending the money to her family back home. So they don't give her money. She told me that she cries a lot and she feel like stuck in this marriage, but she wanted to stay for her children's future.
And you also spoke to a lawyer. Why did you want to speak to this lawyer? What did you want to find out?
I was wondering how do these women get help when they are alone in a foreign country, they don't speak the language. So I was wondering if there was any organization offering help for them. And then I found an organization which is called Pro Bono Singapore. So they offer legal aid to foreigner marrying Singaporean. And then I met Jun Lim, and she's a lawyer who helped Vietnamese bride go through divorce for free. Of course, there are many people are living happily, but many are facing all kind of abuse until they cannot stand it anymore. And then finally they run away and the police get involved. And then these Vietnamese brides are told by the social worker that they have many opportunity. There are different ways to solve their problem, that they can stay in the country to take care of the children. So they don't need to stay in the abusive marriages.
Obviously, as we both agree, this is an uncomfortable topic sometimes to talk about, but also a very complex story. And I'm sure that a lot of our listeners will have different reactions to this conversation that you and I are having. What kind of comments did you get from your audiences?
We receive a lot of comments. They are mixed, but mostly because this is a topic that the state-owned media in Vietnam, they won't investigate deep on this matter. The BBC Vietnamese report quite independently from the government. We can delve deeper into the story. So we brought the bigger picture of this matter. Mostly the comments, they feel sympathy for the women who are staying in the abusive marriages. But there are some people, they also blame those women, like, why don't you get better education or become independent? Other people, they blame the government. And other people, they blame the Vietnamese man. Why don't they keep Vietnamese women in the country or something like that? And also for me, particularly, like I'm also from a small town in Vietnam where, you know, like my friend or young people aspire to earn more money abroad. So I just feel I'm so lucky because I feel sympathized for these women who seek to escape poverty. But I believe that marriages should be built on love and trust, and women should have the opportunity to be independent.
Thank you, Thu Wong Le from BBC Vietnamese. I'm Farnak Amidi, and the Fifth Floor team was Caroline Ferguson, Hannah Dean, and Alice Joya. The sound engineer was Mike Etherton. You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Did you know that it's 50 years this week since Richard Nixon became the first US president in history to resign from office? To mark this monumental moment, Witness History brings you 5 programs about influential events in US presidential history. And with all the amazing twists and turns in the current race for the White House, what a time to bring you them. You'll hear about the closest US election in history and from the man who was in the Situation Room during the raid on Osama bin Laden. That's Witness History from the BBC World Service. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your BBC podcasts.